One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wait take the mic.
Did John Cena and Cody Rhodes have anything fresh to discuss on Monday night? All that and more coming up on tonight's review. John Pollock and Wei Ting here with you. We are just getting through a mammoth news pack where we went through the life and times of Bill Mercer, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 99, the passing of Janice Carter, the mother of Dixie Carter, and independent wrestler Graham Moore. Plus, Endeavor has gone private. Cain Velasquez is sentenced in his attempted murder case. Gable Steveson gets beat over the weekend. Earthquake and Typhoon in the WWE Hall of Fame. And the headliner, the official announcement of the senior scramble at Joey Janela's Spring Break number 9. Wrestlers 55 and older are welcome. Under 55, get lost. You can come to the next night's Battle Royal. Maybe this might be the true cluster of the weekend.
My real WrestleMania main event right there.
All right. All of that can be heard on the XL edition of Rewind to Raw. Put down your $6, get a month access on the cafe, and you can listen to Rewind to Raw. You can watch it live. You get the news of the day, all of our discussion, get inside our brains, plus your Q&A at the end of the show, and of course, feedback. So, with all of that said, Wei, we have a big week coming up here at postwrestling.com. We are chatting tonight about Raw, but coming up on Tuesday, it is going to be the return of the book club. Myself and Neil Flanagan, we are getting together and we are going to be chatting about The Queen of the Ring, the book by Jeff Lean. We are going to be discussing the contrast between the book and the movie, covering the life and times of Mildred Burke and the rise of women's wrestling in the U.S. and in Japan on top of that. And we will be looking at the accuracies and inaccuracies of the film as well. So that is coming up on Tuesday for Double Double and Espresso members of the Post Wrestling Cafe. Also this week, a double shot of Daredevil, which is dropping episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah, I have not caught up yet. Have you, John?
Oh, I am right up to speed on Daredevil.
Wow. And what are your thoughts so far on the series?
I've been enjoying it quite a lot. The dichotomy of Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk has been really entertaining, where these two men, are they mirroring one another? Are they living parallel lives? Or are they... Are they who they have always been deep down? And we're getting the ascension and the descension of both.
Mm. Yes. I believe Neil Flanagan will be joining them this week. He was supposed to be there last week, but I believe he's it's very tough to book him, you see. So I believe that he's rescheduled for this week.
Well, that is going to be coming up later this week with Rich Fan and WH Park on the cafe. Also dropping later this week, another doc review we have is going to be this new Luna Vachon documentary that is entitled Lunatic. It's premiering this weekend at the in Toronto at the Scotiabank Theatre. And Karen Peterson and Kate from Montreal, our resident movie/documentary reviewers, have had a chance to see an advance screening of this documentary. They're going to be chatting about it. And Karen will be bringing you an interview that will be free for everybody with director Kate Kroll on the whole process of putting this documentary together on the late Luna Vachon. So a lot of great stuff coming up this week. As always, you can go to postwrestling.com for the full list of shows. We've got plenty of free stuff coming your way. And you want to jump up. You want to get the truly elite material, postwrestlingcafe.com, where we have Rewind Away dropping every other week, including a recent review of Beatles 64. We did a talk not too long ago. And of course, weekly releases of Collision Course, Daredevil, Born Again, and so much more.
All right.
How was that?
Excellent. As always.
I just did that off the top of my head.
You're the best.
That's why I got I sometimes need that graphic from Way. But there we go. That is what is happening in the world of post wrestling. Now we are heading over to Glasgow, Scotland, the site of this afternoon's edition of Raw at the OVO Hydro, with 10,516 tickets distributed, according to WrestleTix. And first of all, before we get into Raw, I do want to make mention of the fact that today is March 24th. Do you know what March 24th signifies?
Brandon from New Jersey's birthday.
It is the birthday of not just Christopher Daniels, not just The Undertaker, not just Barry Horowitz, not just Toronto Mayor Olivia Chow, but most importantly, Brandon from New Jersey.
Wow.
Who is turning 25 today. So congratulations, Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah. Our phenom, our dead man. Yeah. Happy birthday.
He's in a truck somewhere right now, probably coughing up a lung, laughing at this, but happy birthday, Brandon. And to celebrate, Pat McAfee decided to get on a plane all the way to Scotland, and we got Pat McAfee. Maybe he was worried last week hearing Corey Graves, like, wait a minute, he's not going to be getting so comfortable in that seat. I'm going to take a day or two off. I got to go over to Glasgow.
It could be that. You know, maybe he, I imagine he makes a pretty penny for each of these appearances and maybe didn't want to miss too many of them.
Well, he was there. He even rented a kilt for the occasion. And John Cena begins the show. And, of course, a vociferous reaction for John Cena. I will say this. The crowd, they were very hot for this segment, in particular, Cena coming out. I thought they were very into the main event. But I would say this was not an audience near the level of some of the previous European shows. And I'm stating that outright.
This is that sliding scale I was referring to on Friday, where like, if we had just come to Glasgow, I don't know, from Mobile, Alabama.
Buffalo. There was a long portion of this show that felt like we were just watching a regular Raw from Buffalo.
I mean, I don't know if they were Buffalo levels, John. Okay. I would still say this was a very good crowd, but we've just been spoiled with like some of the best.
There were some cold matches on this too. I mean, this crowd was not, there were not 10,000 people. Oh, Lyra Valkyria. No, they were not singing that, were they?
I mean, I guess they have to step their game up, you know?
Well, listen, I don't blame the crowd. I mean, maybe it's, this was just objectively, this is not the level of the previous European shows. John Cena comes out and he asks the audience, do you have something on your mind? He says, I have turned the spotlight on you and I can rip any one of you to shreds. Last week, I put a clueless kid on blast and it got posted everywhere. You all loved it. And they chant, F you, Cena. And again, Netflix tries to, whether this is WWE trying to censor this for whatever reason, I don't understand this at all. When we closed off Elimination Chamber with Cody Rhodes dropping the F word, and now this is banned, and they're doing a terrible job at trying to censor this. It's like they were censoring like you, Cena, and missing most of the swearing here.
Is Raw on Netflix worldwide, or are there still like some broadcasters in some markets that still air this over the air?
There are, you know of? There are a few, yes, that would have.
Could be that. Maybe they care about, you know, the profanity, you know, affecting the younger ones.
I cannot imagine, like, it's one thing for a performer to swear, and it's like you want to avoid that, and for those reasons. The idea of a crowd chanting, and that is somehow, like, could you imagine someone complaining about that?
Oh, it's silly. Now, if it happens repeatedly in rhythm and you have the opportunity to censor it and you don't, then I do think you take some responsibility for it.
I don't care.
Like, I'll play this to my kid. Like, listen to this crowd.
I just think it sounds so ridiculous trying to censor a crowd chant. And they do it so poorly that it's just like, what are we even doing here?
AI will take care of this problem soon enough. The censor will be out of a job in 2 months. Yeah.
Cena says, I always tell the truth while you use profanity. You laughed and memed a poor kid that was destroyed by me last week. I have listened to your lies and noise for 25 years. Your life is sad because being here watching me is the best it's going to get for all of you. I have conducted an experiment on you like rats in a cage throughout my career. When I bled, you thought I was tough. When I spoke, you were inspired. When I was edgy, you were excited. When I was vanilla, you were bored. And when I was selfish, you were disrespected. And the crowd's just, what? What? And he ends it by stating, and when I speak in rhythmic tones, you chant what? And it's like this crowd was like, oh, he got us. And Cena, you make this so simple. I will have my complaints a bit at the end of this segment, but I thought Cena was tremendous during this.
I thought this was one of the best takedowns of the what chant we've ever had. You know, not only did he take it down, he introduced it so that he could take it down, and he did it masterfully.
This is a guy who is typically very good on his feet, but just the cadence of this, it's like he knew these chants were coming, and this felt like he was building to this line and not one where he was just reacting to the what chants. Like, it felt like he had, and he was delivering this, like, this line item that totally inspires the what chant. I thought this was really well done.
Well, I don't know if there's much exaggeration to what he was telling us here. You know, he has studied all of our reactions to him from afar, and he essentially, throughout his entire 20-year babyface run, has been using us as a social experiment to learn our behaviors. What a sicko, right? All this time.
Let's not give him too much credit, okay? Studying wrestling fans over the past 25 years, not the most creative people in the world. Like, there are what, 5 chants that exist and like 3 songs. Like, that is sort of the whole arsenal.
I would argue wrestling fans are actually a lot more creative than fans of plenty other sports. You know, like, you think there are a few, well, no, football, fans. soccer excluded,
okay, but come that's on, what I'm like, gonna say.
Or just even like, I don't know, fans of other things, or even like,
As long as the This Is Awesome Fight Forever crowd exists, you're not going to get any creativity points from me. We need to update some chants in wrestling.
Okay, I'll give you that. But like, politics is all about like predicting your audience's reactions. And I feel like from what I can see, some of those audiences are a lot more easy to manipulate than professional wrestling crowds in some ways. But I love this sort of early portion where Cena essentially like broke down the crowd and analytically told us what he's been doing for 20 years. It feels like the type of like exaggeration of like who the real person John Cena might be, that, you know, we kind of got in Total Divas, where he's a guy who you can tell, even though he plays this like kid's character dressed up in Fruity Pebbles colors, you can tell he's an extremely thoughtful person where he thinks about the details of everything. And it's almost like he's basically just kind of exaggerating that side of his personality, where he's turning down the friendliness, driving up the coldness to the point where he's a machine, sort of. He's a computer. He's a prototype, if you will, you know. And I think I love this early portion.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for a man that has had this in him for 25 years, this hatred of this fan base that he has bit his lip for this long.
That part still doesn't completely equate. And maybe that to me is still one of the weaknesses of this, is in that we were never given a real compelling reason for why he's doing this now.
Well, and we may not have a compelling reason. We will get to that, because once again, the omission of one Dwayne Johnson continued. But he says the most important thing happened in April of 2005. That's when I gave you the spinner belt and you ate me alive and called it stupid for making a toy out of your prized championship that was taken seriously. Now he knows what makes the fans vulnerable. You're all belt marks, and I am going to ruin wrestling for everyone. He states that at WrestleMania, I will win my 17th title, which will make you forget the fun machine that is Ric Flair. Don't know if that was a heel line to everybody out there, but he says, I will win this championship and retire with it, thus taking this title home, and you can create a new toy belt because the real one goes home with me, because I will be the last real champion in WWE. So what he is saying is he is going to take this championship away from the people. This love that this fan base has for this, the prestigious championship, and it invites the opportunity that they might have to create a second world championship way.
I can't live if they break the lineage of this the pristine professional wrestling championship title. I can't.
Yes. No. So, okay. We will get to the Cody portion here, but the first half of this, again, I thought Cena's performance here was tremendous. I thought it was actually better than even last week. Like, I thought the performance side of it was great. But there is, even if you want to give the leeway that whatever the Rock involvement, the explanation is going to come at a later date, if you want to just throw that mm-hmm. they're not going to explain it now, at the bare minimum, your announcers have to be asking the questions that you, the viewer at home, would be having. Like, what about The Rock? Why did he align with The Rock? You need to be hitting home the question that you want answered, which is the question everyone wants answered. And instead, we're in like the Twilight Zone, where since Elimination Chamber, The Rock doesn't exist. He's been severed from this story. And to me, it's still like this big gaping hole in all of this, that we're kind of just going with, well, Cena hates the fans. And I just felt like when that graphic came up later tonight, that next week they will be face to face, it was like, man, I'm like, what more do we, like, if this is like the gear that we are in, I just don't know what more we have left here with this dynamic. Like, something new needs to be introduced here.
There's certainly a lot more they can say. You know, we haven't really had the sort of personal promos, the personal attacks, at least from Cena. We've not heard Cena's sort of explicit thoughts about Cody Rhodes, the person. We've heard a little bit from Cody about Cena, but not the other way around. These past 2 weeks, last week was about the fans. This week is about the championship. So I would argue there's still a lot. But to your point, John, you know, coming off of last week, I saw a lot of reaction to the reaction from people who were critical of that promo, saying, hey, like, we got so much more time, you know, just like, let it play out. I don't completely disagree with that sentiment, but at the same time, these are big questions that you were left with coming off of Elimination Chamber. And at the very least, I think they deserve to be hinted towards, or at least addressed, you know, like you mentioned, you know, either having the announcers ask that question or Cena saying, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to wait till, you know, a time that I choose to explain that question, just to kind of make this feel like it's more of an off ramp from what we came off of from the pay-per-view, rather than just what feels like almost a complete forgetting of that particular moment. All that said, I agree with you. I thought this was fantastic. To me, still a little mustache twirly for my particular taste. You know, I could kind of do without the, I'm going to end this company and there's nothing you can do about it, sort of like supervillain grandeur. At the same time, I understand that maybe Cena as a wrestler, like, I think he only has one gear, and that is to play to a wider audience, many of them being, you know, perhaps people who want a super villainy type of character.
Idea that Cena could win the title at WrestleMania and he retires at WrestleMania?
That he keeps it until his retirement at the end of the year. I think that's what he's suggesting.
Well, yeah. That's hardly a threat. I'm going to win this title and then I'm going to defend it for another 8 months where you will have opportunities to take this title from me, and then I'm going to leave.
Well, he's confident enough that
really
he
got
keep...
us over a barrel here, John.
Well, he's confident that he's going to keep it for that.
You're taking
long.
Half of our world championships. Whatever will we do? I mean, it's
yeah, it really.
I didn't take this as the threat that this audience was exactly. Oh no! Oh, what?
It really
what
does
will
completely
do?
Completely forget about Gunther and Jey Uso's match. With that one not really being the one that we all love at all, I suppose.
Well, you kind of had to overlook that giant aspect to this. That yes,
listen, our role here as professional wrestling podcasters is to pick this thing apart with a microscope. I would suggest
this is not nitpicking. There are two world championships. We just spent 2 months of people winning Royal Rumbles and to pick a champion.
I think it's nitpicking because in the end of this, do you think most people hated John Cena and wanted to see Cody Rhodes beat John Cena?
At the end of this segment?
Yes.
I don't think the threat of the championship changed that at all. I think people's reaction to that would have been the same as... I think people just want to see this match.
Okay, well, I think at the end of this, even if that sentiment was already there among the fans, I think they at least maintained it, if not heightened my desire to want to see Cody Rhodes beat John Cena. And all the details about, like, why did John Cena wait 20 years to explain this? Most people aren't thinking about that. And all we really have to ask is, do I hate John Cena more after this? And at the very least, I would say yes.
Well, I think the Spinner Championship is coming back, and they're going to be selling those at a ridiculous rate.
That's what he should do. Win the championship.
All these hypocrites in the crowd that he's going to call out and shame for buying these championships.
So he mentioned Flair. Do you think we see Flair at any point? Before Mania, even?
I would say yes. I think we do.
Yeah.
Cody comes out. The crowd goes wild for him. They're singing for Cody and says, you have to take the belt from me first. And says, this was weird because last week he was talking about how, you know, this is not the John Cena that better show up for WrestleMania. I need the old John Cena because I'm going to run through this version. And he just totally backtracked this. He's like, no, I maybe underestimated this new version of John Cena. This might be the most dangerous version of John Cena. So he's done a total 180 on the threat level. And he says that he's challenging Cena on the spot to try and take his belt. And Cena teases having the match right now in Glasgow, but he walks off. So he teases coming back. He doesn't. And Cody says that your psychotic need to win this title doesn't outweigh our need to keep this championship. You'll leave empty-handed at WrestleMania and away from WWE. Mm-hmm. So,
Cody, you know, for these 2 weeks, like, his role really is to just... Cena's the one who kind of we're all here for. We're still, like, very much enamored by this heel John Cena. Cody just has to react and not be swallowed by, I think, our very, I think, still large attraction to this heel John Cena. And Cody, I think, is doing a great job of that. He's doing a great job of still feeling like the main character in all of this, despite this sort of shiny new toy we're all completely, like, interested in. Cody, like, if I feel Cena still a little bit mustache twirly, Cody, I don't think, has that problem at all. Even in sounding like a super Boy Scouty Captain America type of babyface, he sounds so convincing doing it that I can believe that this is who this actual person is.
Yeah, I won't be too critical. I'm just saying that next week, I do feel this. I think you have run near the edge of just the novelty of Cena in this role. And I do think next week, you do need to take this segment to another level if we're just doing another in the ring trading of words.
I think they will. Again, I at this point want them to hear to get a bit more personal with each other. Cody alluded to
maybe it'll be a battle rap.
Maybe that's week five. Yeah, maybe at some point. But, you know, they do have a long history together. You know, Cody's alluded to what, like driving Cena around and all that. I'm sure they have a lot of material that they could dig into. I want this.
Did they take photos together back in the day? That'll be key for the package.
Plenty, I'm sure.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Jey Uso's big mystery partner, he believed in Jimmy Uso as his partner. And
how many people you think were disappointed without at not hearing that?
It either? Didn't seem like anybody in this arena, but I was very curious to see like what kind of I think he would have gotten a pretty big pop if he was here. Just
it would have been the biggest pop. Okay, Cena might be bigger, but like it would have been one of the bigger pops of the night if Joe Hendry showed up. I also think like maybe it was on purpose that they didn't have Jimmy Uso come out for his own entrance. He just basically like came out of like the background of Jey Uso's entrance.
Like, oh, look, it's Jimmy.
Yeah.
They so made no big deal out of this Uso's mini reunion. But I mean, it did play into a kind of a story throughout the night. They took on A-Town Down Under. We come back from break. The best part of this. Grayson Waller does his somersault into the ring for his blockbuster, but Jimmy catches him with the Samoan drop. Michael Cole calls it, "Great sling blade by Waller." And Pat corrects him, saying, "He was actually countered and hit with a Samoan drop." And dude, Michael Cole, he didn't even flinch and just, "Yes, you are right." And he just keeps going. The man is a robot when he is calling these matches. But there you go. Jey comes in, super kicks both. They hit the alley oos, and then Waller knocks Jimmy off balance. Jimmy then presses Waller in the air for a spear, and they hit the 1D, pinning Austin Theory. And, you know, Theory and Waller, they are the doormats in this lead up to WrestleMania, and doing that job as satisfactory as possible. And the Usos win. But then Gunther shows up, knocking Jimmy off the turnbuckle. Jey goes to attack him. And then as he sets up for the spear, he slips out of the corner, giving Gunther the advantage, elbowing him, and then gets chased off by Jimmy. And this is supposed to convey that Jey's confidence is shaken going into WrestleMania. He can't even get off his back foot for the spear.
Yeah, yeah. He slipped.
He's botching. He's botching moves.
A botch, yeah.
He's under a lot of pressure.
I feel like in wrestling, it still feels rare to see like an intentional botch, like a worked botch. And I thought it was effectively done, you know, for the sake of this particular story of Jey Uso not having his confidence there. If you want to visually show a pro wrestler not having his entire confidence with him, you have him botch a move, right? I guess. And I thought it was effective overall, that spot in particular.
Do you think Liam Lawson's going through the same type of thing as Jay?
Is all of this just a big setup for his WrestleMania match against Max Verstappen, perhaps?
If his WrestleMania is called Formula 3, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the tag match was a welcome variation on like this pretty endless run of like singles matches for Jey Uso, you know, having a little bit of like sort of, I guess, specialness attached to an Uso's reunion was helpful, but more so because it allowed the bigger story with them or the bigger scene with Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso afterwards.
Judgment Day is in the back, and Liv kind of makes fun of Finn Balor losing last week and how he blames others and encourages Dominic to continue recruiting Penta despite Balor not wanting him in the group. Then it was time for our video, the history of El Grande Americano. And we see shots of Blue Demon, Mil Máscaras, the Guerreros, and hailing from the Gulf of America, who was raised to be the ultimate luchador, blackballed by his enemies and disappeared without a trace. He has now returned. And Wei, when I saw this photo, this map of the Gulf of America and the magnification of American made, did we not call this?
You certainly did. Yeah. It certainly raised on my brows, you know? I didn't expect them to because Gulf of
this
America,
is honestly like the most political thing they have done,
yeah,
like in forever since, yeah, like make Darren Young great again. Like that's
yeah. You're right and I would say things are even way more charged now than they were back then, you know, with these sort of things. But yeah, this is akin to, I guess, I don't know, like making fun of Canada being the 51st state, which, you know, to other people outside of the country might seem kind of harmless, but if you're in the country, it's actually very sensitive, you know, at this point. And I have to imagine maybe to some people, just even the term Gulf of America might inspire those similar feelings. So I didn't expect them to go there because they've only hinted towards, well, they've not even been explicit about like any sort of political leanings. Like they've only kind of left that to interpretation. This felt pretty provocative, explicitly.
So Pierce meets with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee and says that El Grande Americano is the newest member of the Raw roster. And Ray explains to Pierce, that's Chad Gable. And Gable walks in denying it's him. So Pierce has signed this guy. What, Pierce is of the belief this is two separate people?
He must have a separate contract, right?
That's kind of weird. So
How so? I mean, let's think about this, okay? You think
Are you paying Chad Gable two salaries right now if you're Adam Pearce? That's what I'm asking.
I guess that is a good
question. Because Pearce kind of feels like an idiot here, that he's not in on what everyone else is in on.
Maybe the answer is yes. At the same time, you think he's seen Dragon Lee under his mask, you know?
Well, we all did later.
But we haven't seen his face, and I doubt Adam Pearce has. Could Dragon Lee be also, I don't know, Cruz del Toro at the same time? We don't know that for sure.
Well, they've had matches together, but other than that, yes. Gable has a doctor's note. He's sick. And instead, Dragon Lee will now face El Grande Americano. And as the segment ends, because Gable is coughing, Michael Cole says that he should be wearing a mask, but not a lucha one, which, given this new political direction, I'm imagining he's anti-mask.
Yes, yes. Yes. Now that we've gone there with Gulf of America, can you imagine the incredible?
Oh, I'm gonna go crazy now with this, okay?
So, oh yeah, yeah.
Now American that I've been made. Given the green light, okay? Yes. Some people thought I was being crazy here. It's like, oh, why do you have to insert politics into everything? It's like, you know what? They've co-signed. They've gone this way. So just wait till what Brutus is gonna be in no time. Maybe they're gonna have a group chat talking about their enemies, and they're accidentally going to have Rey Mysterio in the group chat as they're going over their plan of attack on the LWO.
Does WWE have a South American signed in any of their NIL ID performance center systems that immediately?
I think they have every nationality accounted for in
their
system. Lyra Valkyria took on Raquel Rodriguez for the Intercontinental title. This match had almost no heat. Lyra comes off the top and gets drilled with a big boot, and Lyra can't lift her up for the Nightwing, and then drop kicks Liv on the floor, counters a Tejana bomb into a roll up for the cover, pinning Raquel in 8 minutes and 23 seconds. Liv and Raquel beat down on Lyra when Bayley comes out. Bayley got the best reaction of anyone here. This woke up the crowd. Lyra prevents a Tahana bomb on Bayley, clears the ring as they are singing for Bayley. And this feels like our makeshift team that are probably going to be the title challenges for Liv and Raquel.
Okay. I actually thought this was like one of Lyra's more successful outings here. You know, I thought it was a good match against a larger opponent where she prevailed, even with a 2-on-1 handicap. And I thought the crowd actually responded better than usual to her presence. I kind of saw here at the end, it was Bayley lifting the belt to hand to Lyra. And I don't think they ever do that, unintentionally. So they could be going for the championships first. That would in fact make a lot of sense, but I think the ultimate destination is a 1-on-1 match with these two.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get two matches out of these combinations for WrestleMania. We will see. But yeah, there was this could also be more of a post-Mania thing that you do as well between these two. But you could throw this onto the show, I guess. We will see. But Raquel and Liv have to have some some kind of presence at Mania. And there are no opponents for them. So that's why I lean towards these two because of process of elimination. The Usos are hanging out in a stairwell. Jimmy says, Jay, you're in your head. What's with you? Tonight you had the kill shot and you slipped. You're not going to win at WrestleMania like that. Jay says, I know. I'm reminded every week. And he mistakenly said, I'm 3-0 against Gunther. Which Michael Cole later corrected him. He is 0-3 against Gunther. Jimmy says, you can't beat him. Not this Jay, but the right-hand man, the one who won the Royal Rumble, that Jay can. And he gives him a pep talk. And then Jimmy goes around the corner. I'm convinced Jimmy's new power is he can see through walls, because there is Gunther just randomly in this hallway of all places in this building. And he goes up to Gunther, challenges him to a match next week. As Gunther says, as long as you don't trip and fall like your brother. And Jimmy winds back, gives him the Stephanie McMahon slap. And Gunther just smiles at this. I thought Gunther was just going to throw this man through a wall and depose him outside.
Wait till next week.
Next week he's getting killed, but he let him live this week. So that will happen next week in London.
I thought Jimmy was really excellent here in the supporting role. You know, I don't think he'll be having a proper match at WrestleMania, but if his role is to essentially like be the second to Jey Uso until he faces Gunther, I think that's a perfectly good and capable role for him. Of the two, he might even be a stronger actor, but they're both very good right now, and they both at this point, Jimmy and Jay, have very distinct voices, and I would say pretty distinct characters too. So Jimmy, like when he's on his own, it's just not working. But when he's paired with, you know, certainly Jay paired with Roman, even that's when I think he's been able to shine the most.
Adam Pearce is in the ring and he's holding up the contract. So this is our post contract signing. If the women had not interrupted him, I didn't exactly know what the purpose of this segment was going to be. You've signed the contract. Adam Pearce said right off the bat, Rhea's signature is not official. The match is a singles match. So, but he does mention that Rhea does get a rematch, which he has been trying to nail down for weeks.
Is news to us, right? Like, have we heard about that at all?
No, this is the first mention that that Rhea is getting a rematch.
Yeah.
And that he's been working on it for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why would Rhea go through
what
all
is there
of
to
this?
Work out?
When to wrestle the match? When to do the match? But, like, why would Rhea go through all of this, like, you know, hijacking the contract signing when she already had a rematch?
She later said in this segment, I don't care about WrestleMania. I just want my title match. Yet last week, we are under the impression that she stormed this segment to sign a contract for a title match she had already been offered by Adam Pearce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so none of this makes sense, just so we're all on the same page. Io comes out at first saying, I'll face both women at WrestleMania. Belair comes out. She does not like that idea because I won Elimination Chamber, and I'm not going to let Rhea headbutt her way into this match. She didn't earn it. So who would you guess comes out next? It's Rhea Ripley, who says, and I quote, I don't give a damn about WrestleMania, and says, She just wants her rematch. Belair tells her to wait until after WrestleMania. So Io's standing between them and once again gets pie-faced, this time by Rhea. And Pierce announces that Ripley will get her rematch next week with Io, and the winner will face Bianca Belair. So then we got, and I am not kidding, the most choreographed brawl of just the most, like, this was like a gymnastics routine with these three. And all I hope is that the three-way at WrestleMania is a little more natural looking than some of these sequences and transitions look between them. But the end sees Belair grabbing the belt after sending them to the floor. And what else do you do in the ring when it's WrestleMania season? What show is this going to be at again? And she pointed and reminded us. And later, we would get the announcement, or the Belair is informed she will be the special referee for this match at Raw next week in London.
I think these segments have benefited greatly from these very strong crowds in Europe. Because they're stars. I would say all three of them, you know, in at least in comparison to the greater, like, women's division.
And they all booed Belair as well. Like, they have shifted her into the heel role, and they all, like, the audience is super into Rhea, and they really like Io, and they've realized Belair is the heel in this. And they are clearly, like, they are aiming for that reaction.
They treated these three and these segments with, like, star reactions. But I think the creative has been pretty bad, honestly. Like, you think the sort of brawl, it was choreographed. I think every interaction these guys have had has been too, like, generic. And, the shoving of EO. Like, the first week I was like, okay, like, it's kind of novel that they're able to garner this sort of babyface reaction for EO without her saying anything. But it just feels like we've done it now, like, what, 3 weeks in a row? Just this, like, procession of, like, people coming in after the other, like, to interrupt them. I'm pretty done with it by this point. So it's a lot of work to try to justify the three-way. And this is, again, part of the reason why I really don't like three-ways for WrestleMania, because it does not at all feel like the culmination of a grudge. It feels like we're still trying to justify the fact that this match should take place, really.
I would say one very clear aspect I see, and this also extended to the Vince McMahon era, but one that, you know, it's been 3 weeks since Elimination Chamber, and we still have almost 4 weeks until WrestleMania. And yes, you've got Cody and Cena on top, and I think that has a lot of people's interest. A lot of these other programs, like, I cannot say I am, like, sinking my teeth into another 4 weeks of television. For, like, some of these, I'm like, I literally don't know what they are going to do with Charlotte and Tiffany for another 4 weeks.
Gunther and Jay might be another one where they really feel like they're treading water, but I think we can hope that they've been saving the best material for these final 3 weeks, and that what we've just been watching has been them just deliberately just kind of dragging it along.
If that's the case, great. But I am not convinced that this company, that more time is a benefit for them when it comes to building even the biggest show of the year. That I think they're very entrenched in, like, these 4 week builds. Yeah. And I mean, we're just at the 4 week mark now until the big show.
The Rumble to Mania gap was a lot easier to work with, like, 30 years ago, wasn't it?
And I would not say this was an issue as much last year. Like, it felt like they had a lot more strength up and down, like, a lot of the key stories that were going into Mania. Not all of them, but we move on. Dominic approaches Penta, offering him a spot in the Judgment Day, asking him just to think about it in advance of his IC title match later tonight. War Raiders video airs, and the New Day enter Adam Pearce's office. They want a tag title shot at WrestleMania. Pearce has just lost his mind at this point and says, go prove it in the ring before you get a shot. And my counter would have been, what other teams are in contention right now? Who do we even face? Would be my question.
And I guess Theory and Waller just lost. They're not even really Raw guys, though. Yeah. Wait, they are now. They are now. Never mind.
Maybe, I guess the LWO. That's your competition at this juncture.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week.
Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Club, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or, if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Dragon Lee against El Grande Americano. The crowd just sings Olé. And Gable is doing all of his mannerisms. There's a Tope Suicida by Dragon Lee. And then an inverted gory special that Lee turns into a victory roll. Lee hit a double foot stomp going to the floor, sending both down, and then gets caught with this huge belly to belly that sends him into the corner. Gable lands on his feet from the moonsault. Liger bomb by Dragon Lee, crowds into the match. And then Gable, from the tree of woe, comes up, pulling off the mask of Dragon Lee, leading to an ankle lock and the submission in 8:55. And I thought this match was very entertaining. I thought this was the match I enjoyed the most on the show.
Great match. I think a very strong finish that just works so well with this particular storyline and gimmick. This is sort of like a classic gimmick that several other people have done, but I don't know if the match has ever been like this strong. So I thought it all worked really well here.
I would like to see some more kind of like lucha offense from Gable, because you figure like he can pull off a lot of this stuff. And
but what's the joke there? Like should he be able to pull off lucha moves?
Well, what did he do on this trip? What did he pay for?
He got a mask. That's it? Doesn't. Yeah, that shouldn't actually make him a
so he shouldn't be able to do any lucha.
He should do the moves poorly. Like he should attempt like a La Mystica, but have it end up horribly wrong. Yeah. You know,
that would be great.
Yeah.
There was a preview of Stephanie's Places with CM Punk and him coming back to WWE and ruining the McMahon's Thanksgiving. Punk comes out. He is in the ring. He's not in a good mood because he's jet lagged and he has not slept because of his road to WrestleMania, and says, apparently I have a match, but I'm not getting what I want. Or am I? It's like, what the hell does that mean? He says, I was supposed to win the Royal Rumble.
Well, it means he's hinting at the favor. Don't you think?
What's the favor?
So, again, he made mention of just because of the fact that he's lost the Rumble, just because he's lost the Elimination Chamber does not completely prevent him from gaining what he's truly after.
So my thought would be that the favor event is Heyman can get him a title match before WrestleMania. Would that not be – that would get him his main event?
I guess what title are we talking about? What title?
He has to win a world title.
Well, which ones are left?
Well, contrary to our first segment, there are two.
But who could he challenge? I don't think that's
What's his point here? He wants to headline WrestleMania. Is that not what his WrestleMania is about?
Yeah. His point is that what did he say? I don't even remember. He has a match at WrestleMania, but it's not necessarily what he wants. Hinting at the fact that he's got a match, but it's not necessarily the main event. But he might have,
even though it probably is.
Well, we shall see.
Like, this is a much bigger match than Jey Uso and Gunther, to be fair.
Agreed. And the fact that, like, Punk is even introducing this tells me that this is very likely to main event WrestleMania, and somehow it'll tie into the favor.
He was supposed to win the Royal Rumble, then he was supposed to win the Elimination Chamber. But because the more things change, the more things stay the same. I work with children.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that? Like, there was a time where, like, I think any mention of this very sensitive topic was going to draw controversy and even, like, a question of taste, you know? But have we passed this enough to the point where it's fair game to throw these sort of things out there?
I think either side, go for it. I mean, AEW fine. Ran security footage, so I think that's whatever. Right. My counter will be, though, that there will be a time when CM Punk is going to be at one of these press conferences or he's going to be in an interview with someone, and they're going to want to ask about this stuff. CM Punk is not allowed to whine and say, oh, I don't want to talk about that, or stop bringing up, I don't want to talk about the past. No, when you use this for your advantage, you also invite it to then, you can't just dismiss, I don't want to talk about the past, or I don't want to talk about negative things from AEW. It's fair game. Like, that this is this horrible thing that cannot be addressed when it's a cute line that I can throw in there. That, quite honestly, I wonder if this line even, like, lands for the vast majority. I'm sure a good amount of people know
for the
reference.
Internet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even if it doesn't, it still is. Like, you wouldn't be questioning what it means. It's like, it's just...
It worked for me. It caught my attention.
I think it caught most people listening to this, their attention. And the heavyweight of being a little piss baby is Seth Rollins. Piss baby. And he screwed him at Elimination Chamber. He says, it's just business for me while it's personal for the other two. Rollins has cried ever since I came back here that I put a shadow over him. And Reigns knows that his wise man is not just his wise man. And he's taking it a bit personal, too. So this Friday on SmackDown, we're having a good old-fashioned contract signing. And the crowd boos. And Punk, why are you booing? What, you wanted that here tonight? Imagine booing that you're not getting a contract signing. No!
I mean, perhaps they were more so booing the fact that they weren't going to see the other two people in this entire feud.
We wanted to see the brawl and three men pointing at timed intervals. Why don't we get that? So Punk says, what, you want them to be here tonight? Me too. And he says, I'm going to read the fine print. And if it gets me closer to what I want, then he will sign. But he then thanks his friends here in Glasgow, meaning let's not end this segment on a downer. Neither of Reigns or Rollins have ever defeated me without the other one's help. And I brought you two into this business, and I will take you both out of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised they haven't made a bigger deal out of, like, Punk's, you know, Punk being the one to introduce the Shield. And maybe in the next few weeks they will. Maybe
they might not have the right stare that audio where he explained that.
Oh, right. But didn't he do it? He did it on screen, like in storyline, too.
Yes, you're right. With the Survivor Series introduction, it was kind of that version too. Yes.
Yeah. So Punk was put in the unfortunate task of being on a show where he essentially had to come out here to tee up the Friday segment, which is the real segment of the week.
And everyone has had to do this almost every week.
Except Roman.
You're right. Yeah. Heyman had to do the Roman segment that Roman is coming. And Seth had to do it last week that he's going to SmackDown. Yeah. Yeah, and every week they get upset that the big segment or the big star is going to be on Friday. So again, unless there's a dictator standing in the way of the border, you can just buy airfare and go to London, you cheap fans.
Yeah, is Mussolini going to stop anybody for this one? But, you know, I'll say, unlike
World
Seth last
Wrestling
week,
elitists.
Unlike Seth last week, I thought Punk actually, like, did really well with what little he was given here. I think he has the absolute sort of talent to be able to take a promo that ultimately doesn't have that much substance attached to it, but somehow is able to make it something worth listening to. And he does that purely off of that incredible delivery. He's so clear about his points. He's so smooth in the way he just, like, flows from one sentence to another. They're words that just kind of make you pay attention. So to me, that it was a joy just to kind of listen to the promo on its own.
Logan Paul sent in a video or posted on Instagram that it was unforgivable what AJ Styles did to him at the Garden. He will be calling him out next Monday in London and also next week in London. So they're doing SmackDown and Raw at the O2 Arena coming up. And then they're back to the U.S. Gunther against Jimmy Uso. Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley with Belair as the referee. Cody Rhodes, John Cena. Face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Face to heel, I guess.
That is correct, yes.
Kathy asks, Bron Breakker.
There were also a lot of plugs for Stephanie McCurr's two title defenses tomorrow.
Yes.
They made a big point of pointing that out, yeah.
Kathy Kelly interviewed Bron about the potential of Judgment Day helping Penta, and Bron responded, that's his business. I'm going to retain because the dogs are barking in Glasgow.
Yeah. This man is incredibly over. Whatever they're doing with him is working, but he does not necessarily have the same gift of a CM Punk where he could take something without much substance.
This was not a joy for you to just watch.
No. I don't understand the sort of reliance on all the dog stuff.
They just want the fans to bark. That's all they're trying to do with that.
Okay. Yeah.
And most of them do, to be honest. Like you always, fans like barking, especially when they're drunk by the third hour.
Yeah, I guess so.
Bron Breakker and Penta is the main event. Dominic and Carlito come out. They're trading strikes. Crowd, I thought they like really got into this. Penta lands a backstabber. Mexican Destroyer gets blocked by Bron, who turns into a gut buster. And then he hits the Mexican Destroyer, and Bron kicks out at two. So Bron hits the Breakensteiner for two. The straps come down, but Dominic distracts as Carlito gets into the ring, speared by Bron. And then Dom just runs in. Chop blocks the knee of Bron, and the DQ is called. After 11:24, Bron gets to his feet when Finn Balor appears and attacks Bron with a chair, and he's holding it in the direction of Dom, but instead of striking Dom, he hands the chair over to Dom, who uses it. Then Dom hands it to Penta, and we've got Penta. What should I do? And then he tosses it to Dominic. He catches it, and Van Daminator right to Dominic, and then they jump Penta, and Balor continues with chair shots, coup de grace on Penta, and he helps Dom to his feet, unlike Dax Harwood last week. And the Judgment Day are on the same page, we are told. And that's how the show ended. And if you were in Glasgow, you got a dark match of Cody, CM Punk, and Ray beating the Judgment Day after the show went off the air. So that's a nice bonus that you got for sitting through 2.5 hours here.
I like the match. You know, I think these two have very good chemistry, and the crowd is very, very, very into both guys in their own ways. I was curious to see how they would book this one as a double babyface match, and I mean, they booked it with a bullshit finish so that you have somebody to hate coming out of it. Perfectly fair to me, you know, given the assumed direction for WrestleMania. So it seems to be
what is the assumed direction for WrestleMania?
I think it's at the very least a three-way, if not maybe the inclusion. I wonder if a Dominic might find his way in the match somehow.
I feel multi-man, and the idea of there's this under this sort of tension with Dominic and Balor, and is Dominic working to help Balor, or is he going to screw Balor? Like the idea of
he's in the match.
Yes, that was my thought coming out of this.
Yeah. I could see that.
I was not too enamored with this edition of Raw. I thought that I liked a lot of Cena's performance, and I wasn't even too down on it. I thought the main event was fine. I did enjoy the El Grande Americano match with Dragon Lee. I'm just saying overall, I don't know. This build for WrestleMania, I do feel like it needs some it just is feeling like we are very much in this patterned way of just going through a lot of these programs, that once you get outside of Cody and Cena, it just feels like it's very by the numbers of what they are doing, and it is just feeling like just this litany of contract signings and face to faces, and I don't know. I'm just not feeling that big momentum a month out here. But I don't doubt that it will be there. But this was one show where by the end of it, I don't know. It was one that was not. Not one that I was.
I don't disagree with you on maybe my overall feeling for like the undercard of WrestleMania. I still enjoyed the show overall, though, because I think so much of my memory of it is due to the Cena stuff. I thought you had like a good amount of star power on the show between a Cena promo and Cody and CM Punk being on the show. I thought there was some good wrestling on the show between the main event, despite the non-finish and that Gable match. But I don't completely disagree with how you feel about the build itself. I would say that I think my excitement for like the Rumble, my excitement for maybe even the Elimination Chamber has been higher maybe this far out for those events than it has been for WrestleMania. But I also fully expect that we haven't seen the best stuff in this WrestleMania build yet. And I do believe that
that'd be a scary thought if we peaked for these programs. That's the best we've got for Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton. It was the satellite interview on Friday.
So listen, we got 1, 2, 3 weeks left before WrestleMania.
And that's 3 episodes?
That's a lot of hours, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 31st, 7th, and 14th. Yeah, you're right.
Three weeks.
Raws, 4 SmackDowns.
4 SmackDowns.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Well, there you have it, everyone. Those were some of our thoughts on Raw from Monday. We're going to be taking your feedback. That's going to be on the XL edition of the show. If you're watching live, just sit back. We're going to get into that. And you know what, Wei? I'm looking at my clock. I think we have a little bit of time for Chinese Grand Prix discussion as well at the end of the show.
Oh, boy.
So let's... I didn't stay up till 5 a.m. for nothing on Saturday. No, I didn't watch it live. There's no way.
That would have shocked me.
There was no reason to wake up for Sunday morning unless to talk about it with Wei Ting. So goodbye on YouTube, XL. We're just going to keep rolling.
Like your must-watch list, our network is all over the place. Because T-Mobile helps keep you connected from big cities to your hometown on America's largest 5G network. Switch now, keep your phone, and T-Mobile will pay it off up to $800 per line via prepaid card. Visit your local T-Mobile location or learn more at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch. Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service port in 90 plus days. Device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.